are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. DM's always open for you. And smash the button so you get this podcast once it goes live. We will talk to Ian McDonald, CRG Futures, one of the sharpest people around at betting the futures. The importance of shopping around. Ian has 8 or 9 legal outs in the state of Illinois, and he is constantly checking and tracking the prices. And he also shares some bets he's made with us in Major League Baseball. It has been a wave of green for us in the NCAA basketball tournament, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I wanted to start with a tweet that I saw late Sunday morning out here in Boston. My buddy Nate Jacobson, who does sports betting content for Stadium, shared it with me. The Dan Le Batard Show, owned by DraftKings, was promoting a 2-team money line parlay on Miami to beat Kansas and St. Peter's to beat North Carolina. Noted professional handicapper Dan Le Batard. I like Miami and I like St. Peter's. Peter's was 330 on the positive side, Miami plus 225. So I did the math for you. That's plus 1297, rounded up 13-1. And 13-1 implies a 7.14% chance of probability. Le Batard hawking a long shot parlay that has a 7% chance of winning at the sports book that pays his salary is par for the fucking course these days. Another day and another operator trying to separate you from your money. And oh, by the way, both teams got drilled. St. Peter's lost by 20. Miami lost by 26. Hey, here's the parlay of the day. We're going to take two teams that won't win. We're going to put them together and you're going to lose, but it'll be fun. I can't believe this. I mean, the ethics of this. The guy's got a massive following. I was looking at Le Batard's Twitter feed, and I know some of you are going to say, well, come on, it's all in fun. It's pizza money. Well, here's the problem, though. A lot of people are going to take what Le Batard does way too seriously. I mean, they hinge on his words. Imagine what they do with his parlays. 458,000 Twitter followers. And that feed, probably a producer, probably not Dan, but I don't know for sure, telling you to take a parlay that has a 7% chance of winning. Even if you bet $50 on it and 5,000 people ride that parlay at 13-1, that is $250,000 that goes right into the kitty, DraftKings, which pays Le Batard's contract. It's an incredible cycle, isn't it? We have to start our show discussing Will Smith and Chris Rock. I don't watch a lot of award shows because I don't really care what the Hollywood elite have to say and all the virtue signaling that goes on from time to time. But Will Smith and Chris Rock was fireworks. And I'm sitting around Sunday night laying in bed. The games were over, the two Elite Eight games, so there was a little more basketball to watch. And I didn't feel like starting a new television show. Just got through Ozark season 4, waiting for the second half of season 4. So I'm all caught up on everything. I'm like, all right, I'll flip on the Oscars. Within 20 minutes, we get Chris Rock up there doing the jokes. The G.I. Jane line, Will Smith's laughing, then he's not. Then he's strutting up to Chris Rock with an open hand slap. And the reactions are wild. Twitter exploded. I was dying at some of the responses. I mean, if you were on Twitter Sunday, I don't need to explain to you how funny that place could be, Twitter. But my mind immediately goes to the gutter, and I think about prices and bets and lines. And I'm thinking to myself, what would the price be if Chris Rock and Will Smith met in the squared circle? And I'm not a professional bookmaker, but after scrolling through Twitter for 10, 15 minutes and seeing all the pro Rock love, I'm like, well, I'm going to shade this down. Because people are like, wow, Chris Rock would whoop his ass. He didn't even knock Chris Rock over. Chris Rock has a steel jaw. Chris Rock laughed it off. I'm thinking, well, if I'm booking bets on this right now, more people than not will probably want to take Chris Rock. I spent about 120 seconds creating a line. Didn't put much homework into it, and I'm not taking bets. I went with Will Smith minus 275, Chris Rock plus 2.25. It was more for laughs than anything else. I didn't really, I didn't expect it to take off the way that it did. But my mentions were getting flooded with people saying that's a bad price on Rock. I'm like, oh my God. I would probably, if I was booking bets on the street, I would make Will Smith minus 500 and Chris Rock plus 375. But at 225, Chris Rock this, Chris Rock that. Rock took that punch like a champ. I'm taking that plus 225 and running with it. Plus, Will Smith was tearing up afterwards. Danny Lifshatz, friend of the show, Sports Hub, Bankroll Boys, max wager on Rock. I'm thinking, wow, maybe this line was okay. Then Jeff Sherman from the Westgate had to join the party and change everything. He actually texted me and said, I would lay minus 275 so fast because Will Smith would smoke Chris Rock. I tend to agree. Sherman took to Twitter and posted his own odds. Smith minus 2,000, Rock 10-1. At that point, I would bet Chris Rock. And I can't imagine there are that many people that would be willing to go up to the window for a fight that will never happen, by the way, and lay minus 2,000 on Will Smith. That implies a 95% chance of probability. If Smith and Rock fight 100 times, Will Smith's going to win 95? I don't know about that. I like my minus 500 number a whole lot more. That implies 83%. So Smith wins 83, Rock wins 17. And maybe Chris Rock can brawl. We don't know. I felt like that minus 2,000 was way too high. My minus 275 turns out is probably way too low. So if you meet in the middle, the true price is probably, as I wrote on Nesson.com, I would probably meet in the mathematical middle and make it Smith minus 1,100, Rock plus 775. But the fact that we had this impulse, or I had this impulse to tweet a price as a joke, and then it turns into Sherman and I going back and forth, and then I text Sherman and I'm like, hey, let me quote you for this story I'm going to write on Nesson.com. It was one of the most popular stories on the website on Monday because people were clicking Chris Rock and Will Smith. So that's the price probably. That's probably what I would go with. Final answer. Will Smith minus 1,100, Chris Rock plus 775. And I hope we don't talk about celebrities for another year. The NCAA tournament has been a moneymaker for us. It's been a great ride. In the last week, Texas Tech lost that one as they blew it down the stretch. Duke outplayed them, but I like that Tech bet on Thursday night, minus 115. Lost that, but then five straight wins. Nova, -5 against Michigan. First half under, game under, Houston and Nova. Cash the Nova Final Four bet, plus 250. And one of the easier bets you'll have, North Carolina -8 against St. Peter's. So in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, 5-1 plus 5.3. And for the whole tournament, 14-5-1 up 10 units. You bet 100, you're up 1,000. You bet 1,000, you're up 10K. It's been great. And the work is still not over. Well, my work is over. These teams have to finish their jobs. We've got Kansas. Chicken Dinner gave it out at 16-1. Nesson, I gave that out at 20-1, and I have a little 20-1. They're currently plus 180 to 2-1 to win the title, and I'm hoping they can get through Villanova without Justin Moore. That's the plan. Kansas, a four-point favorite in that game, as I look at the screen right now on a Tuesday night. Kansas -4.5. Wow, 4.5 everywhere pretty much, and a 5 at South Point. So Chris Andrews took some skin on Kansas. That's good, though, because we don't need Kansas to cover. We need Kansas to win. And I feel good about them winning this game. Nova has six guys in the rotation, now five with Moore out. They'll probably elevate Archie Diacono, the the seventh Archie Diacono brother. If Kansas can't get past Villanova, depleted Villanova, they don't deserve to win. So we've got Kansas, and then I also sent out Duke plus 450. Well, they're now the title favorite. As low as plus 135. In a perfect world, it's Kansas against Duke, and we sit back, kick the feet up, make a little drink, smoke a little cigar, whatever. Can't lose if it's Kansas-Duke. I would feel better if it's Kansas-Carolina because I like Kansas's chances more, but whatever. As long as Kansas wins against Villanova, you are in a tremendous spot if you made that bet and you followed the boys and took either 16 or 18 or 20 to 1. Let's go. I did send out a play today on Twitter. Ochai Agbaji, points bet had over 16.5 plus 100. FanDuel had minus 102. DraftKings had minus 110 or minus 105. I thought the best price obviously is worth sending out. If you shop around, I think MGM had over 16.5 plus 100 too. This guy is going to play well in the Final Four. You look at what he did against Miami, finally broke out, took 10 twos, made six, 2 of 2 from three, finished with 18 points. Didn't even get to the line, 0 for 1. But if you look at how he played in February, let's just take February 1st and go forward. Here are Agbaji's point totals from February 1st and on. 18, 11, 11, but then 20, 23, 23, 27, 13, 22. In the first few games of the tournament, Agbaji wasn't looking for his shot. 9 twos against Texas Southern, 11 against Creighton, he was 4 of 11, 2 of 4 against Providence from 2, and then 6 of 10 against Miami. I imagine Bill Self at halftime of that game against Miami said, "Yo, dude, what the fuck? Why is Jalen Coleman Lands looking for his shot more than you? Be the dude. You're a lottery pick. Take more shots." He got involved. He got aggressive. Started shooting the ball. And he finishes with 18 points on 12 shots. I would imagine against Villanova, he's going to take 15 shots. If he gets to the line and shoots 6 free throws, he's going to make 4. The way he plays, how efficient he can be, I think that's a really good bet against Villanova. You're buying low on a low number for a guy who could easily score 20 points or more. So I'm over 16.5. That's the only bet I'm going to make in the Final Four. That's it. I don't have a reason to bet anything else. Roll Kansas and roll Duke. Let's go. There are so many different ways to bet the big dance these days. And I was texting with Mitch Moss. We used to work together at VSiN. And we're just amazed at all the different things that you can do. Mitch told me he's never bet the tournament like this before. The outrights, of course, but then the Final Four markets, the win total markets, individual team. Kansas was 2.5, and I think the over was minus 115 or minus 120. I mean, they've won 4 games. That's an easy over. The conference. Remember we talked about on this show, Superbook had 9.5 on the Big 12 total wins. They shattered that. It blew through that. I think they're at 12 right now. And Kansas wins 2 more. That's going to be, you know, they're going to be favored in probably both games. Maybe it's Duke minus 1, but Big 12 flew over 9.5 wins. And Mitch said it's almost like having action on every game if you have the right bets. And I've had action on every single Kansas game. I didn't bet on Kansas, but I have Kansas for the outright. And I found a very interesting scenario because, as you know, we had Nova to reach the Final Four, plus 250. Well, guess what? At halftime, I think Houston was down 7 points to Villanova. 6 or 7. Still in the game. Not out of it by any means. And I tweeted at that point, at Chicken X Dinner, we have Villanova plus 250 to make the Final Four. Meanwhile, Houston is now 9-1 to win the title at FanDuel. Well, wait a minute. In the morning, Saturday morning, Houston was the title favorite, plus 350, 4-1, to win the whole thing. And now, down by 7 at half, they're 9-1. So if I wanted to, I didn't do it. I said, look, if you're looking to hedge anything Villanova, you bet Houston at 9-1 to win the title. It was 350, 4-1. Now it's 9-1. They're down 6-7 points at half, and they could easily win this game. You couldn't do stuff like that 5 years ago. Hell, you couldn't do that stuff 2 years ago. But these books are allowing you to bet more markets and do more things. You could never bet the national championship market when games were going on. Ball goes in the air, title market comes down. Now you can bet at all different types, at all different points. I think Mitch bet North Carolina when they were down. I forget who they played. North Carolina, they were down in this tournament. I want to say it wasn't UCLA. It was the game before UCLA. I'm looking up schedule right now. Oh, Baylor. Baylor. That's right. So during the Baylor game, Carolina goes up big, and then the game goes to overtime. I think Mitch at that point, when the game goes to overtime, took a little North Carolina at 95-1 to win the whole thing. Going into the game, they were probably 30-1 or 20-1. But when Baylor rolled back, goes into overtime, it's like, all right, Baylor ain't losing. So some book put a 95-1 on the board, and Mitch hit it. You couldn't do this stuff. And that's what's so cool. So cool that you could bet all these different ways. The White Sox, have you seen? They are now minus 200 or higher everywhere. Everywhere in the world. And they were minus 180 10 days ago. And we talked about that on this show. I said, look, I think they should be minus 300 or minus 400 to win that division, which is a joke. I take that back. DraftKings now has minus 195. But every other book, minus 200 or higher. Superbook 200, FoxBet 200, Caesars 200, PointsBet 200, MGM 200, FanDuel 210, BetRivers 222, 365, 222, Hard Rock 222, Barstool 222. Hope you got 180. Hope you laid something under 200. I would even argue minus 200 is cheap. It's the old boxing theory. Nobody wants to lay the favorite. Everybody likes the underdog. Mayweather McGregor, remember that? Oh, man, it's a great price on McGregor. Was it? I'm not laying 400, 500 on Mayweather. Well, if the market should be 8 or 9 or 10, yeah, you can lay 4 or 5. Remember, Mayweather opened, the first book to open was minus 2,500. So, relatively speaking, if I think the market on the White Sox should be minus 3, minus 350, or minus 400, yeah, minus 200 is cheap. It's two bets. Usually you're laying 1.1 to win one. That's a standard bet, minus 110. You're telling me all of a sudden you're not going to lay 2 to win 1 on the White Sox to win the AL Central? Who's winning that division? The Twins? The rotation fucking blows. They got good hitters, half of whom can't stay in the lineup. Correa, Sano. Who else? Byron Buxton. I mean, these guys don't play 150 games, usually. The rotation, so bad. The Tigers, young, long way to go. The Guardians, don't call them the Indians. And the Royals blow. The White Sox are winning this division. And minus 200 is still cheap. You know me. I'm not laying minus 200 every single day. Like some of the influencers on the props. Over 2.5 threes, minus 195. Let's go! No. I have an edge here. This is not a coin flip bet. This is a bet that should be a dollar or two higher. I think there's an 80% chance the White Sox win the AL Central. Not the pennant, not the World Series, just the division. And if it's minus 400, 80%, I can lay minus 200. It's math. That's it. Speaking of math, there are two players I'm looking at for AL MVP. Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. They are young studs in this White Sox outfield. But listen to these ranges of prices. If you want to bet Robert to win the MVP at Tipico, 20-1. Ugh. MGM, DraftKings, Bet Rivers, 22-1. Superbook 25, PointsBet 28, FanDuel 30, FoxBet 33-1. So if I bet 100 at Tipico, I win $2,000. You bet 100 at FoxBet, you win 3,300. That's not a big range. Here's a big range as far as potential payouts. Eloy Jimenez at FoxBet to win the MVP, 45-1. Barstool, MGM, DraftKings, PointsBet, 50-1. Bet Rivers, 60. Superbook, 60. FanDuel, 70-1. So I bet 100 at FoxBet, I get 4,500. I bet 100 at FanDuel, I win 7,000. A $2,500 difference by just shopping for the best price. There are two other bets I like. Vladdy to lead the league in homers. Superbook has 10-1. That market is as low as 7-1 at most books. 7 almost everywhere. 8-1 at FoxBet. 10-1 in Vegas at the Superbook. Make a phone call. Text a friend. Your buddy, your cousin going to Vegas. Have him make the bet. You got time. April 7th is opening day. And another player. This is Rookie of the Year. Riley Green. Remember, we discussed him about a month ago. End of February, I wrote a story about this on Nesson. I had a scout tell me, wow, Riley Green at 30-1 to win the Rookie of the Year is a great bet. Well, 30-1 is long gone, my friends. At FoxBet, Riley Green, future Detroit Tigers superstar, lefty-lefty center fielder, going to hit third, fourth, or fifth. He is 7-1 at FoxBet. 30-1 is what he opened. 10-1 at FanDuel, 10-1 at Superbook, 11 at MGM and DraftKings, 18 at PointsBet, 22 at Barstool and BetRivers. If you're in a state like Illinois, you go to Barstool or BetRivers and bet 22-1. Why would you bet 7 when you can bet 22? I know this is, you know, I sound like a broken record for some of you, but there are a lot of people that only have one or two outs and they don't feel the importance. They don't see the need to get different outs. There's a big difference between 700 and 2200. And you got to get the best number.
Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, one of the best future bettors I've ever spoken with. His name is Ian McDonald, and he runs a website called CRG Futures. You can follow on Twitter at CRG Futures, crgfutures.net. Before we get into anything else, I made a number on this for you. How many times have you checked an app today? 45 and a half, over under.
Oh, that's a great number. you know what? I'm going to take the under today, but that's because I had my daughter until about noon. So she got my full attention. And then after that, probably in the 20s or 30s. But if I hadn't had her till noon today, yes, it probably would have been over 45 and a half. So that's a good number. Hell of a number you made.
Ian's the guy who made a lot of money last year at betting good players and good teams at better prices or great prices, you could argue, including a ticket on Sal Perez 500-1 to win the Major League Baseball home run crown. So he knows what he's doing, and he studies this market like crazy. Would you say you start... like for the average day, would you say you start looking at the numbers about what? About 3-4 in the morning or so?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I keep some strange hours. So, you know, you see a lot of the movement on some of these numbers. It's not occasionally see them in game if somebody does something, hits two home runs or, you know, this is something newsworthy. But a lot of times you won't see movement on a lot of these apps until after the game is over. And it is in the middle of the night when you'll see a price drop on somebody. So for me, I try to keep tabs on that stuff throughout the night. I'm in the central time zone here. So, you know, I'm usually up until those hours. I usually nap a couple times a day. So, yeah, it's 3-4 in the morning. I'll do it. I am usually up. I listen to the morning shows. I try to watch the highlights, collect as much information as I can in the morning. And then, I'll try to take a nap usually during the day around lunch hour and then get back on it in the afternoon. So it's you keep some strange hours doing what we do.
Well, these numbers always move, and a prime example of that, I wrote the story on Nesson on February 23rd. We taped this a little over a month later on March 28th, and it's the Major League Baseball Rookie of the Year odds. And in that story, I had a scout tell me, wow, Riley Green is a decent bet at 30-1. He is a young prospect in the Tigers organization who projects to be a center fielder with a lot of power. And the scout told me he's got plus power. He'll get a ton of at-bats in Detroit. He's the best hitter in his class. Line drive after line drive after line drive. He's a lefty-lefty, good rhythm. And across two levels last year in the minors, Green hit 301, 24 homers, and 84 RBIs. And at that time, and I think I may have texted you this and asked about Riley Green, at that time at the Superbook, Riley Green was 30-1 to win the AL Rookie of the Year. As I look now, I see the following numbers: 11, 11, 11, 11, 13, 13, 13, 15, 16. He has been cut in half or greater in almost every single book, and the season that hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, he was the guy that I actually had written down on my list here that we did talk about him about a month or so ago, and I've kept my eye on him. And I think that his number might have been cut even more. There's a couple guys, though, in that Tiger system, I think, that are worth keeping your eye on. And that's one of the plays that I've got in the futures market for this year. The win totals is the Tigers over because of some of those guys. And he's one of them. Spencer Torkelson's another guy that I'm keeping my eye on also. But you're right. His number's been cut in half. And we haven't even begun the season. We just had that truncated spring training. So these numbers do move quick. I'll give you another example of that. Wander Franco is the guy that I was looking at in the offseason for American League MVP, and his number was 50-1. I got probably a month ago right before the lockout ended. And now the best number you can find on him is 25. So that's another guy who I was surprised that he was 50-1, frankly, when I saw him. I thought he'd be in the 20-1, 25-1 area. So when I got 50-1 last month, I was pleasantly surprised. And there's been some movement on his number. You can find him as low as 15 in some places. So yeah, these numbers do move quickly, you know, whether it's word of mouth or, you know, a scouting report like you got, or just looking around when the odds are posted and you see what you think is a bad number at the time, you know, you grab it because you don't know how much longer it's going to be there.
There's only really six players that have shorter odds right now than Franco as far as consensus. Vlad Jr. is the odds-on favorite, then Otani, Trout, Judge, Devers, and Bo Bichette. Let me ask you about Otani, because he had a fucking amazing season in 2021. And I remember at some point, you know, he was like 50-1 during that season. I know you were talking about him when he was about 30-1. I think you had him in a parlay. You parlayed him with somebody else. But when a guy like that has a season like he had, rolling into the next season, you're going to get no value on a guy like Shohei Ohtani. So he's 3-1 here, he's 350 there, he's 4-1 here. Do you like the fact that you can fade Ohtani now? I imagine you're not going to key Ohtani in. Does that make the price on everybody else a little more enticing for you?
Yeah, it's you don't know what you're going to get out of him. I wasn't even that high on him going into last season, to be honest with you, Sam, because he had had some injury issues the prior couple of years. And we'd also never seen somebody do what he was attempting to do and do it at that level. You know, we kicked around. I talked to a couple of people before the season started about Ohtani, and we were kicking around the numbers. You know, what numbers did he have to get to be an MVP? You know, did he have to hit 20 homers and go, you know, 8-4 on the mound? You know, we had no idea because you've never seen that before. And some of the numbers that we were kicking around, I was actually looking at this a few weeks ago, the numbers that we were talking about, he blew past those. You know, I said 20, 25 home runs, and he had, what, 31 or something at the All-Star break? 30, I don't even remember. But, you know, was leading the league and just had a fucking unbelievable first half of the season. And then his Cy Young numbers were tremendous also. That's so much to the point it got him in the Cy Young race, you know, in like July and August. He had a couple bad starts, I remember, towards the end of the season, which kind of knocked him out of that. But what he did last year, we may never see again. He may never do that again. So I'm not going to bet on him this year at his current numbers, because we don't know. Is he going to do that every year? Was that just a once in a lifetime thing? We just don't know. There's too many question marks, I think, to put any money down on him at that number. And, you know, if he does go out and does this again, and what are the voters going to do? Are the voters going to give it to him again? I mean, he just set the bar. That season he had was just incredible to watch. I tried to watch as many Angels games as I could last year. And I mean, we don't know if he's going to do that again. I just think it's funny to say, and it may sound stupid, but there's a lot of question marks around him, too many for me to put some money on him to see if he does it again. I may wait and try to hit it again if he starts out real well, but I'm not going to get any value on it like you talked about. It was a lot of fun to watch though last year, I'll tell you that, man.
It's almost like the expectations are just too out of this atmosphere. And you're right, the best way to play Ohtani may be to wait. Perhaps he has a slow April, and then you can bet him May 1st at 10-1 or 15-1 or something. As for another AL MVP, I guess, front runner, not the front runner. Well, he is the front runner now. He wasn't, but now he is. And that's Vladdy Jr. Would you rather bet Vladdy Jr. to win the MVP at 4-1 or to lead the league in homers at 10-1?
It's a great question. I would rather bet him at the MVP at 4-1 because I think that there are several guys that could compete with the home run chase. If you look last year, Sal Perez came out of nowhere. You know, you have guys that could emerge and win the home run title, or, you know, compete for it. He's such a good hitter that he could have a hell of a, he could be in contention for the triple crown, not win the home run crown, yet be your MVP. And on that team with that lineup, you know, I think that they're going to win. I've got them as my AL favorite right now. That's where I put my money to win the American League. So I would rather take him to win the MVP, because there's too much. He could have a hell of a year. Like I said, he could lead in average, and he could lead in RBIs, not lead in home runs, and lead Toronto to you know, the AL East and the American League, and win the MVP that way, because of the talent that's surrounding him and how good I think Toronto is going to be with the addition of Chapman and a healthy George Springer, who's a guy that I've got his name written down in the AL MVP race because of his odds right now. Because of that, I think that I think Toronto's the favorite in the East. So I would rather take him for the MVP, because he could be the best player in the best team and still not win the home run chase, even though he was in the mix last year, obviously, and tied Perez. Cost me about $13,000, but that's okay. I'm over it.
Yeah, clearly over it. I remember last time we had you on, and I asked you about the most important part of your sports betting career, and you said it's having all these different outs. I mean, in Illinois, you can have up to 8 outs now, I think, legally, and I'm almost positive you have all of them. So you know the importance of shopping around. I think as I've done this show since I brought it back in August 20, that's been one of the best parts about this show, is that people always text me or send me an email or a message and say, hey, thank you so much for explaining the importance of that, because I didn't know that. I had one book or two books, now I have 7, and I can always get the best number, which leads me to a price point on Eloy Jimenez to win AL MVP. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is one of those perfect candidates where you have a big range. Vladdy Jr.'s range is 3-4-1, maybe 4.25, but Eloy Jimenez to win the AL MVP at FoxBet is 45-1. 50 at Barstool, 50 at MGM, 50 DraftKings, 50 points bet, 60 Rivers, 60 Superbook, and 65-1 at FanDuel. So that 100 that makes me 4,500 at FoxBet makes me 6,500 at FanDuel. Again, playing into this point that you and I always talk about, if you are not shopping around, you are not helping your bankroll.
I could do you better, Sam, on some of these Cy Young Award numbers that I have too. And I'm not sure, you probably get different reason for not having more apps, depending on who you talk to. I mean, there's probably 100 different reasons. I honestly think that the friends that I have and some of the people that I talk to that only have one app, I honestly think that there is a stigma with having 4, 5, 6, 8 apps in your phone on gambling sites that are legal. If the girlfriend or the wife or somebody gets in their phone and sees that, or if you tell somebody, hey, I got 6 apps and I got this and I got that versus just one, I still think that you get looked at like you have a problem, but you just need to be able to shop around. You have to be able to get the best number. And if I had only had DraftKings or a FanDuel or one of them, I wouldn't have gotten that Sal Perez 500-1 number last year. I got that on William Hill, and they were the only one that was offering an in-season home run prop that late. You know, so that made me a lot of money having those apps available. So in addition to shopping around for the best price on a common one like an AL MVP, you also need to have them because different apps have different markets throughout the season, whatever season you might be in, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever. So you may be missing out on a bet that you could make by not having it. It's vital. It's absolutely vital. And especially in a baseball season like where we are now, and it's any preseason, I think you'd probably say this, but Major League Baseball right now, looking around for Cy Young candidates, looking around for some MVP candidates and such, like you just mentioned. I've got some numbers here on some guys. I've got a wide range. I looked up, I'll give you an example. National League Cy Young, Chris Bassett, traded to the Mets from the A's in the offseason. He's going to slide in as their number 3 guy. Could have found him to win the Cy Young at 25 on DraftKings. He's 75 at William Hill. And at 75, at 25, I gave him a look. I thought, ooh, that's a hell of a price. 75? I couldn't reach for my wallet fast enough. You know, yeah, that's just another example. And I've got a whole a notebook filled with guys here with the baseball where you're exactly right. It's, you know, you comparison shop and other things. You know, you do it for flights, you do it for cars, you do it for whatever. Why wouldn't you do it when you're going to put down 25 or 50 bucks on a future? You know, it could be the difference between 25 to one or 75 to one. That's a lot of money.
Rob Meach is a buddy of mine. He writes for the Sun-Times. He covers the gambling beat in Las Vegas, and he does a really good job. He writes, I think, biweekly now in the paper. And he reached out to me and said, hey, is there any bets you like on the Chicago teams, White Sox or Cubs? And I was very clear. I said, look, Rob, I might get some shit for this, but Caesars a week ago had the White Sox to win the division at minus 180. And you know me, and I'm not laying 180 every single day of the week. In fact, I almost never lay 180. But if the number is 180 at Caesars, it's 200 pretty much everywhere in Las Vegas, and it's 2.25 at other spots. It doesn't really line up with the math that I made, where I think the White Sox have about an 80% chance to win that division because it's the worst in baseball, and I'm not high on the Twins' rotation. The Tigers are young. The Indians are bleh, and the Royals suck. So if I think the number should be minus 400 and I can lay 180, it's that old McGregor Mayweather thing. You bet the other teams, you drive that price down, and I will lay the favorite at a cheap price. Are the White Sox really going to lose this division?
It reminds me of the Packers last year in the NFC North when they were of a similar price before the season started. You looked around and went, who's going to challenge these guys? You know, why wouldn't you lay one? You know, maybe an injury to Aaron Rodgers is the only thing that derails them, but the White Sox are even more of a favorite than the Packers would be, you know, because like you said, because of the lack of depth in the division, it sucks. It reminds me of 83. You're a Sox fan. You probably remember it. The Sox won the division in 83. I don't think there was another team in that division that was over 500 that year. I think the Royals maybe had like 79 wins. It's that kind of, they're that kind of favorite again this year, I think. I think the Tigers, they have some top shelf talent. So I think that they're going to go over their win total, but do I think they're going to threaten for the division? No. I think it's a safe bet. And, you know, you might even look to, and this is what I did last year, is you might even look to parlay the White Sox with somebody else who's a favorite, you know, maybe like the Brewers. I think the Brewers are the clear favorite in the National League Central. You know, maybe you parlay the Brewers and the White Sox, you know, to win their divisions if you don't want to lay the 180, but I think that 180 is, that's as good a price as you're going to get, because that price is only going to go up from the start of the season. So I'm with you 100% on that. Sometimes you know, when you got a clear favorite like that, and you think that that number's low, you got to pounce.
So I just popped this in. For example, the White Sox at minus 180 parlayed with the Blue Jays at plus 190 to win their division. That's plus 350. So a $100 bet wins you 350, pays out 450. That's a pretty good bet. Now there's more challengers in the East. You got the Yankees and the Rays and the Red Sox, but you're turning that minus into a plus, and that's very, very, very important. All right, I'm going to give you the dance floor here. Take as much time as you have to, really. I'm not in a rush. Give me some bets you've made and maybe some of your favorite futures for the audience to take some pops at here as we get ready for baseball season. Go ahead.
You bet. I've got I'll go Cy Young here first. Last year in the National League, obviously Jacob DeGrom was the big favorite until he got hurt. If you want to put down a little money, I saw Jacob DeGrom is 4-1. That's probably the best number you're going to get on him for the guy that has been the best pitcher in baseball for the last 5 years. And if you want to put a little money on him, I would recommend it, but just know that he has an injury history. That's one of the few favorites like that that I'll ever recommend. But in the National League, I found a couple guys. One of them we just mentioned a few minutes ago, Chris Bassitt, was having a hell of a year last year with Oakland until he got smoked in the face. I think it was against the White Sox, too. He got hit in the face with a line drive, which knocked him out for the rest of the year, or at least for 6 weeks or so. I think he came back late in the year, but essentially knocked him out of the Cy Young race. He was in the mix there in the American League. Find him at 75-1. He was at William Hill a few days ago when I checked. He's going to be the number three starter in New York with the Mets on a team that has a chance to win the National League East. That might be a guy that you want to look at. A long shot for the Phillies, Ranger Suarez. You can find him on Points Bet at 150-1. You can find him on BetMGM at 100-1. Were the only two places I saw him posted. Was unbelievable last year in a relief role. And this year they're going to stretch him out and put him in the rotation. He's a lefty with nasty stuff. You can find some clips of him on the internet if you don't know who I'm talking about. But he was out of the bullpen last year. He was unbelievable for Philly. I think he might have had the best record in the national, or the best ERA in the National League for a reliever. But his numbers were great. Take a look at him. He might be worth 10, 15, 20 bucks. He had some issues with his visa coming over here a couple weeks ago. That got resolved, and he was in camp as of last week. So take a look at him. I'm also looking at a guy who has great stuff, and I'm sure Yankees fans will throw their phone when they hear this. A guy that had great stuff who now is with the Dodgers, who I'm got some long odds, and I'm thinking that he might be a guy that could be a Robbie Ray type guy this year. Andrew Heaney. You can find him at 150-1 right now at William Hill. Robbie Ray had issues with bases on balls up until last year. Goes to Toronto, gets that worked out, wins the Cy Young. Now, I'm not saying that Andrew Heaney is going to win a Cy Young this year. However, he has similar stuff to Robbie Ray, and he profiles very similarly to him. So if he goes out to L.A. and he's out there as the number four, the number five starter, and he can eliminate the walks, and his stuff is plays out there along with that lineup that they've got, he's going to win some games. And he might be a guy as the number four starter that could emerge with, 17, 18 wins, low two ERA. He could be a guy that emerges at the back end of that staff. So 150-1 at William Hill, definitely worth, again, 10, 20 bucks, some spare change. Throw it on there. A guy in the American League that I looked at this year, Noah Syndergaard, okay? Been out the last almost 2 years because of injury. Signed with the Angels in the offseason. 100-1 at William Hill. Let him get stretched out. You know, take a chance on him maybe now at 100-1 and just kind of put that in your back pocket, knowing that you've got it, because that's a team I think that could win some games this year and surprise some people out in the American League. AL MVP, there's a couple guys to keep your eye on also. George Springer, 40-1 right now. He's going to be hitting at the top of that potent Blue Jays lineup. The thing with Springer is also health. He's only played 140 games in 2018. He hasn't played that close since, all right? 2019, 2020, and 2021, he lost a lot of time to injury. So that it may be something you want to wait until you see if he's going to be healthy. I read something earlier today that said he was healthy and ready to go for the start of the season. So if he is and he plays 145, 150 games, he's going to be a guy that gives you 30 and 100. And he's going to be at the top of that lineup. Another guy, again, injury-prone guy. but productive when he played. Anthony Rendon in the middle of that Angels lineup, you can find him at 50-1. I saw him out there today. He's still at that number. This is a 30-100 guy, you know, behind Trout and Ohtani. He's got a chance to lead the league in RBIs, I think, if he stays healthy. He had hamstring problems last year. When he was with the Nationals, for the most part, he was pretty healthy, and he was productive, one of the more underrated players in the game when he's on the field. And again, I also mentioned Wander Franco. You can still find him 25-1. People just rave about his ability. Not going to lead the league in homers or RBIs, but he's a guy that's going to put up great numbers in every category and plays a great defensive shortstop for a Rays team that is always in the mix. So he's a guy that you may want to look at also. I'll give you two NL MVP guys, one that I've already made a bet on, and then one to keep your eye on, whose odds may drop. Matt Olson, found him at 30-1 at BetMGM. He's going to take Freddie Freeman's spot at first base for the Atlanta Braves. He is a native Atlanta kid. He grew up a Braves fan. He's headed back home. He is leaving a park in Oakland that 2 years ago when Major League Baseball kind of tinkered with the ball a little bit. Oakland Coliseum, or whatever it's called now, had the highest drop-off rate in home runs from 2019 to 2021. Okay, they went from 60% to 30% on balls that had a certain exit velocity of like 100 or higher. The Atlanta park, minimal difference, maybe like a drop a percentage or two. So you're going from the park that had the biggest drop-off in home runs for your exit velocity to one that has been, I mean, the place has been known as the launching pad ever since they had Turner Field and even back, you know, Fulton County Stadium. So he's going to a place now that is known, hot summers, hot humid summers where the ball travels, and he's leaving Oakland. I love Matt Olson to have a great year this year. I took his over also on his home run props, which was 37.5, and he's going to be in the middle of that lineup, which is pretty potent. So I like Matt Olson at 30-1, possibly as the MVP. And his teammate, who could be the best player in baseball, Ronald Acuna, take a look at him. He's targeting May as a return from a torn ACL that he had last year, last July, if you remember. Went out, and his recovery, he's on track, supposed to be back early May. That's his timeline. That means he's going to be missing about 20 to 30 games with the April 7th opening day. I don't think that that's too many to miss and still be able to have an impact in the MVP race. So maybe you want to wait if you're interested in getting him. Maybe you want to wait until, you know, mid to late April, see what his numbers are at. You know, maybe he drops to 10, 12, 15 if you get a couple people that, you know, start the season early on hot. And then maybe you jump in on him in early May when he comes back. Hopefully he doesn't have any setbacks between now and then. That might be another reason to wait. If you spend some money now and he has something, maybe pushes him back till June, then it's probably not a good bet. So if I were you, I would wait until it gets a little bit closer, see where his numbers are at, shop around. Maybe you can find him in teens and get a good price on a guy who I think is probably one of the three best players in baseball, you know, coming back off an injury. So you may be able to get him at a little bit of a discount price. And that team should be in the mix all year in the National League anyway. So so you know they're going to be there. So those are a couple guys that I've looked at. I've already made some plays on them. And those are some guys that I've been doing some research on recently, and all signs were go on everybody except for Acuna from a health standpoint. So those are some guys that I played so far, Sam.
That is the great Ian McDonald at CRG Futures. Check out his website, crgfutures.net. There's some content there. There's a plan to make you some money. Very nice package, very affordable, very cheap. A six-month package for $20 for information like that. Ian does all the homework for you. He studies for the test, and then he takes the test with you and gives you the best price on these players, on these teams, because most of you have full-time jobs, wives, families, pets. You don't have time to be looking at the apps 50 times a day like Ian can afford to do. So check out our guy again one more time on Twitter at CRG Futures. I don't know how you're still breathing after that last response, man. I got you like 7 minutes there. That was impressive, but the work is appreciated. It's tried. It's true. I made a lot of money last year for a lot of people, and I'm looking forward to a profitable 2022. Thank you, buddy.
No problem, man. We got some content going up on the website here in the next couple of days. So, yeah, if I encourage people to go over there and give us their feedback to let us know what they think. Appreciate it, Sam.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Ian McDonald for hopping on the show. Been a hell of a run. Record check, 238, 241, and 8. We are down a little bit, 0.4 units. In basketball now, on fire. 80 and 70, up 9.2, with two pending in futures and a player prop. We've got Kansas, 16-1 here on Chicken Dinner, and Duke, 9-2, plus Ochai Agbaji at over 16.5 points, plus 100, even money. Coming up on Chicken Dinner Thursday, we get you ready for the Final Four with Jeff Nadeau. You know that name. Jeff will join us to get us ready for Duke against Carolina, Kansas against Villanova. Cash up tickets, make some money, rock chalk. We'll talk to you in a couple days right here on Chicken Dinner.